a short reflection on the significance of this day, this night, and also these following and remaining 10 days and nights of Ramadan, inshaAllah al-Aziz. Alhamdulillahi wahda wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da wa ala alihi wa ashabihi kama arada amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, tonight we completed the 25th para of the glorious and majestic Quran, Alhamdulillah, and we only have 5 more remaining. And before you know it, before our very own eyes and ears, we'll be completing the Quran by this weekend, inshaAllah, and doing the Khatm al-Quran, inshaAllah, on Monday. So time is passing us by very, very quickly. Today has been a very, very ferocious day, in the sense that the weather has been quite turbulent. But this also acts as a reminder to us all that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is in control of all of our affairs. And it should remind us of the feebleness and the insignificance and the weakness of insan before something as simple as the weather, yet it is extremely powerful. And we should always do the dua that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught us to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the winds and in the rains and everything that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khair and barakah in the wind and the rain and everything else that is contained within the weather. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, protect our homes, enable us all to remain steadfast in the path of Islam. Today also marks a very significant point in the history of Islam, in the sense that on the 20th of Ramadan was the Fath Makkah. Fath Makkah was the conquest of Makkah, where the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, alongside 10,000 Sahaba ikram, went to Makkah al-Mukarramah and did the Fath, i.e. opened Makkah al-Mukarramah and enabled Islam to flourish from there on in. And it shows and teaches us a very important lesson that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who lived in Makkah and propagated the deen of Islam for 13 years, 13 years from the Nubuwwah, he was there under the persecution and the violence and so many other difficulties that he sustained alongside the Sahaba ikram. And after 13 years in Makkah, when he went to Medina, and then further 8 years in Medina, because it was in 8 Hijrah that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, so after how many years? 13 plus 8 is? Guys? 13 plus 8? 21 years, thank you. So 21 years the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam persevered to finally get the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which was to demolish all of the idols and statues inside the Kaaba and to remove all of the injustices and the zulm and the polytheism and so many other bad things in the culture as well as the people and in that community. 21 years it took the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, but in those 21 years he did not stop, he continued to persevere. And the victory from Allah Azza wa Jal can come after 1 year or 1 moment or 1 month, or it can come after 21 years. It depends on how desperate you are for that particular thing. So similarly, in our own personal lives, we will have many challenges, whether it's at work with our colleagues or friends or neighbors, whether it's with our own family members and our friends and community. We will have so many things that we want to achieve. We should always realize that the nasr, the victory, the success always comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may be delayed for a year or two, like people who are trying to have a child, other people are trying to get married, other people trying to be successful in other things, or when you're doing things especially for the deen of Islam, the path will never be easy. The path will always be difficult. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying you and testing you to see your sincerity, your conviction and your devotion, see how desperately you want to do, to raise the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that do haq to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we all need to remind ourselves, that we should never stop. And the Prophet alayhi salam could have stopped after a few years in Makkah, could have stopped after Ta'if, he could have gone to Abyssinia with the Sahaba ikram, or once he got into Medina, he could have said, okay, that's it, you know, I've done what I needed to do, now it's time for me to relax. But no, he continued. And this is something that we need to do, especially here in this country. Our da'wah needs to increase and it must continue. We can't just think, alhamdulillah, we have our masajid which are established, we have our institution which is fine, we have freedom of religion. No, our jihad, our struggle must be constant, just the way the jihad and the struggle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was as well. So the conquest of Mecca is a very important and significant reminder on the 20th of Ramadan, in the 8th of Hijri, that took place, where the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam went and forgave all of those people who had wronged him, all of those people who had done a great injustice to him, tried to assassinate him and tortured him, and did so many things to him. He forgave them, because this is the core message of Islam, to be merciful to your own and to be merciful towards your enemies, and to forgive for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because his vendetta was never with individuals. His objective was always to make sure that the kalima of haqq, the kalima of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, deen of Islam, was spread far and wide, and everybody was a recipient to all of that. So this is a very core message. Again, another important reminder for this particular night is that it marks a shift from the first 10 days to the middle 10 days, and now we are now in the last 10 days and 10 nights of Ramadan. So a huge shift in our focus, and it should be also in our determination to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more so. For the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned by the Ummahatul Mu'mineen Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that in the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan, he would be extremely excessive and abundant in his worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tighten his belt and be extremely determined to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. And this is something that we need to achieve as well, because things aren't always seen at the beginning and towards the end. We may have started off strong, and in between we may have fluctuated and gone slightly up or down, but what matters is how we seal the deal, how we seal the end of Ramadan, and this is to make sure that we do as much as we can in the last 10 days and 10 nights of Ramadan. And we come on to one of the greatest sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which was the i'tikaf. And this is something, alhamdulillah, that takes place throughout the Muslim world, takes place in this very masjid in our community. Alhamdulillah, our brothers in this masjid, our elders, as well as our mothers and sisters at home, they are performing their i'tikaf and following the beautiful sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, where they are forsaking the dunya, moving away from the dunya, secluding and disconnecting themselves from the dunya, and reconnecting themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a very important sunnah for us all to reignite within our lives. Because if you look at our lives, from the time that we wake up till the time that we sleep, there's constant noise around us. Constant noise. Whether it is your own thoughts telling you things, whether it's you talking to yourself, talking to your wife or your children, going to work, the radio is on, the TV is on, your apps are on, and talking to your colleagues, there's constant chatter upon chatter upon chatter. Everywhere you go, you are bombarded by adverts, by media, by things, by all of these things which are constantly infiltrating your mind and your heart and keeping you busy and busy and busy. But what i'tikaf does and what Muslims should do is they need to disconnect from all of this to actually practice the art of silence. And this is a great sunnah that is lacking and lost within our community. If you see from the outset and from the beginning of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he lived where? He lived in Makkatul Mukarramah, the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. He had his family, he had everybody around him, but what did he prefer doing? He used to leave Makkah and walk several kilometers to go all the way to Jabal al-Nur. And then he would climb 6,000 feet high to go all the way to the top into Ghar Hira to go and sit and just be at peace. Absolute peace and quiet, just so that he could hear his own thoughts, that he could think away from all of the distractions of family, friends, businesses, the world, and everything else that is there. Because all of these things do not allow you to think, do not allow you to see the wonder of the world, do not allow you to reflect and think deeply about who you are, the purpose of your life and your creation, and for you to connect deeply with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, and her mentioning that he loved being secluded, and this is why he would spend days and nights often in Ghar Hira, thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the purpose of His creation. And this is something that we need to try to do as well. Just think about it. As soon as we wake up, we have the phone in our hand. From the time that we sleep, we are constantly saying or doing things. We don't actually have a moment to just be quiet and think. And the moment that we do have to be quiet and think, we think, I'm bored now. Put the TV on. Watch this, watch that, read this. And we look around, oh, this needs fixing, that needs doing X, Y, and Z. And again, we busy ourselves. Because these are all distractions. But we actually need to have the art of silence and thinking and deep contemplation. Many, many people, rich people, what do? They actually go far away from the city, from the villages. They go far away and they have these retreats. What they call it, an electronic detox, where they're detoxing away from social media, away from all of these things. And they go to these secluded places, these forests and these homes, which have nothing, absolutely bare minimum, simple food. They have no electronics, no nothing, and they just be there at one, at peace, so that they can think. They can really think about who they are, what they want to achieve in life. And they spend thousands of pounds on these retreats just so that they are not disturbed, so that they can think. But our deen of Islam is constantly teaching us that we need to avoid the dunya and always be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And i'tikaf is one of those beautiful opportunities given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taught to us by the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, especially in the last 10 days and nights of Ramadan, he would perform the i'tikaf. And in his final year, when he knew that this was his final year and he was going to return back to Allah azza wa jal, instead of doing 10 nights of i'tikaf, he actually did 20 nights of i'tikaf, because that was his final Ramadan before he returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to value the art of silence, the beauty of silence, the ability to be disconnected from everything else in the world and just connect with ourselves, connect with our soul and our own heartbeat, and more importantly, connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a final pointer is that tonight is an odd night. It's the 21st night of Ramadan. And as we know that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was informed about which is the actual night of Laylatul Qadr. But due to the disputes and argumentations and the heedlessness of insan, and that ilm was taken away from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was unable to inform the Sahaba ikram. But he did teach us to seek actively the night of Laylatul Qadr on the odd nights, the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th and the 29th. As human beings, we like to procrastinate. We like things to be easy. We don't want to actually work hard. So we put all our eggs in one basket and say, sataisvi, sataisvi, sataisvi. But there's no guarantee. Imagine if you were given 5 keys to Jannah. How many? 5 keys to Jannah. And from the 5 keys of Jannah, you only use 1 key to try to open the door. It doesn't open, then you say, chalo, tika, I'm going home. How much of a fool would you be to not try and to not seek the remaining 4 keys? And these are the 5 keys. You don't know which key will open the night of Qadr for you. It's not necessary that it's one particular night for every single one of us. The ulama have mentioned that it could be the 21st for you, 23rd for you, 25th for you, 27th for you, depending on how your belief is and how your conviction and sincerity is. And we should actively seek these nights, because these are the nights when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy, His rahmah, His forgiveness and His pardon descends to the lowest of the heavens, and He is waiting, seeing if there's anybody calling out to Allah azza wa jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the quiet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves seclusion. This is why there's so much reward and so much sukoon and barakah in tahajjud. We pray during the day, that has its own benefit. But the prayer that you do at tahajjud in the middle of the night when everyone else is asleep, and then in that peaceful silence and solace when you're connecting with Allah azza wa jal, it is a different feeling and sensation entirely whatsoever. And this is what the i'tikaf tries to recreate. We're not here to talk even to the other people who are doing i'tikaf. We're not here to indulge in anything else or excessive sleep, or to eat excessively, or to talk excessively. No, we're there to cut off from all of these things and just be one and one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very, very important reminder for all of our brothers and sisters who are doing i'tikaf within their homes, to live and breathe abundant ibadah and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to taste the lazza of conversing intimately with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these nights of Ramadan, and to think deeply deeply about your life and your sins and your actions and where you want to be in your future, and treat this as the final Ramadan that could be perhaps in your life. Detox from the world and from all of your worries and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Purify your heart, purify your tongue and your actions, and most importantly, purify your soul with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inculcate sabr within your heart and also within your actions. Attach yourself to the masjid and do sincere tawbah. And most importantly, actively seek the night of Laylatul Qadr in all of these nights on the 21st, the 23rd, the 5th, 27th and 29th. Bismillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enable us all to understand the majesty and the beauty of these nights and the importance of these nights, to recognize the significance of the conquest of Makkah within our own personal lives, the importance of just being silent and just being quiet and having absolutely no distractions and just being one-to-one with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and doing i'tikaf whether within your home or in the masjid, and remembering to seek the night of Qadr, which is the night of power, which can change your destiny and your decree for the oncoming year, insha'Allah al-Aziz. Jazakumullah khairan.